Morning, Trent. How are you, mate?
Good, thanks, Michael. How are you?
Yeah, very well indeed. Is the stable buzzing? The good horses are back getting ready for spring?
Yeah, it is. It's always got a bit of a spring in the step when the good horses come back, and we're not too far away now. We're sort of, once you hit that August mark, it all gets rolling a bit. So, yeah, we've got three or four nice horses, headline, I suppose, horses for the stables, but we've also probably got as nice a team as rising three-year-olds that I think we've had since we've been in Australia. So, yeah, lot to look forward to.
Well, the star at the moment is Tagaloa. How has the two-year-old colt come back for his three-year-old campaign? Is he bigger, stronger than he was when he was so impressive winning the Diamond?
He is, and I mean, it's very cliche in that they always come back bigger and stronger, but some probably have got more scope than others. And he was always, you know, on type. He probably was never going to be a two-year-old. He was just a bit of a big, lanky horse. But he had a good nearly 7 weeks out in the paddock, which is unusual for colts. And he's really looks like a bull now. He's thickened up over the neck and shoulders. And we're very excited.
Do you think his best distance will be around a mile?
Personally, yes, I do. Like, obviously, the Lord Cannonola's in Japan, they all seem to win over more ground, and everything, again, about the horse suggests that, but you just don't know. Sometimes you can read too much into it and probably should let the horse do the talking, which we will in the spring. But, yeah, we've sort of got everything earmarked towards the Caulfield Guineas at this stage. And, look, if he went that way and came up as good as we hope, I'd love to have a crack at a Cox Plate with him.
Mm. Yeah, it's the stuff dreams are made of, and a three-year-old on the Cox Plate like him would be absolutely magnificent. So what about the future, though, in regards to the start of the spring? There's been, I suppose, a lot of questions and uncertainty with this COVID period, and especially now this border ban for Victorian horses, because I'd imagine the Golden Rose would be another stallion-making race that you'd have your eye on with Tagaloa. Was that the plan to kick off in Sydney, and is that still where you're aiming to start his campaign?
No, he will do his racing down here in Melbourne. He'll kick off it in the McNeil Stakes, I think, on the 29th, and then go to the Dane Hill Stakes down the straight at Flemington. And then after that, we've got the option of either going up to Sydney to the Golden Rose, if you can get up there, which I'm sure you'll be able to by then, or alternatively go to the Guineas Prelude and keep him down here. I mean, best case scenario, he's flying and we do head up to the Golden Rose, but he's raced up in Sydney reverse way that way and raced well both times, so it's not like he needs to be racing up there beforehand, so he can shoot up there a couple of days before if we need him to, but yeah, he'll be kicking off close to home.
Both yourself and Natalie were so confident about this boy before he had his first race start even, and then progressing to the Blue Diamond. You tagged him earlier as probably the most exciting horse you've had in your stable. Are you still that confident that he could be the horse that is your once-in-a-lifetime horse?
Oh, look, you hope so. Look, 9 times out of 10, it doesn't work out, and history tells you that, you know, most two-year-olds, they don't go on with it. You've got other horses, like, I suppose, those two Hawks horses that have been racing recently that, you know, for whatever reason, they don't race as early horses and catch up. So a lot of things have got to fall into place. But like I say, he's probably got more scope than most two-year-olds in the season to go on with it. But everything we've seen of him, yeah, we're pretty confident, pretty excited.
Well, he's one of a couple of promising horses. Let's be glam. We haven't seen since ran so well in the Blue Diamond as well. How's she come back?
She's actually still over in New Zealand. She went home to Cambridge Stud to spell, and then they had a bit of a mishap with, obviously, the Cambridge Stud horses couldn't travel for a bit, but she's booked to come over at the start of August. She's in pre-training over there, and all reports are she's doing well, so sort of, again, we'll go in there with an open mind. The 1,000 guineas, maybe, or keep it a shorter trip. But, yeah, again, she did nothing wrong with it, you know. So she's only had 3 starts. Yeah, looking forward to her as well, obviously.
How are you going to get her back here? I've got Tony Pike on a little later having a chat. Are there any concerns about when you might be able to get her back with this COVID situation?
Well, I've got a number of horses booked to come over in the next 2 to 3 weeks. At the moment, the flights are as are normal until they tell us otherwise. It's more so people coming into the country, you know. So you can tell Pikey that I'm happy to take his horses for the spring. I won't charge him too much.
I bet. What about a couple of the other stars we're looking forward to seeing? Larimer Street was a good two-year-old as well. What have you got earmarked for him?
He'll kick off in the middle of August, the 1,100-metre race, listed race for three-year-olds. The name escapes me. And then sort of, again, we'll sort of figure it out with him as we go. He was desperately unlucky. He should have won the English Millennium. He won a nice stakes race at the Valley over 1,100, but then we took him up for the size produce. He over-raced badly with the hood on over 1,400, so we're unsure over his best distance, but he's come back again big and strong and thickened up, so I'm sure there's a good race for him somewhere.
And Mirage Dancer, what's the latest with Mirage, who ran so well in the Caulfield Cup last year?
Yeah, look, he raced well without winning anything, obviously, but his last run was in the Chairman's Handicap. He ran a good solid third. We'll just aim up again towards the Caulfield Cup. I don't know, it was pretty easy. He didn't stay the 2 miles of the Melbourne Cup, so we'll have a push for the Caulfield Cup. And obviously with no Japanese around and no, perhaps not a huge amount of Europeans coming over, it's probably not going to be any stronger than it was last year. So if he comes up good again, he'll pick up something.
Well, they're the ones that we know that are the stars. Now, you mentioned you've got a couple of nice rising three-year-olds coming through the ranks. If we were to open up the black book, what names should we be writing in?
I like El Dorado that won and he's run second to Paddy Payne's nice two-year-old. He's got Derby ridden all over him. He's a big, strong Savabeel, but a couple of horses that haven't been to the races yet. The Dundeel horse called Clinched, and a reliable man filly called Sure Fling. There are a couple of nice progressive horses that I think will make, they'll get to a nice race over the carnival somewhere, I think, as three-year-olds.
Are they far away from making their debut?
They'll probably kick off towards the end of July or early August. I've got them nominated actually for this weekend, but they'll probably hold off a week or 10 days.
All right, we'll follow them. What about this weekend? You've got a heap of runners entered at Flemington on Saturday. Are they all going around?
The majority of them will. Crimson Ace didn't have much luck last Wednesday at Sandown. She wouldn't have to improve much. I think she'll eat up the 2,800. She's certainly not doing anything wrong. Tavi Run, he was off the scene for a long time, and while his form probably doesn't look outstanding on paper, taken a long time to get him fit. He came back from a major injury, so we haven't been able to do too much work with him in between races. He'll strip fit for the first time on Saturday, and on his work, he will give him something to catch over 2,000 metres.
All right. You've also got Sully entered as well, and Savvy Lad. Looking forward to seeing Savvy Lad back in action, because I know when you got him over from New Zealand in the spring, you had big expectations, but just didn't seem to live up to it this time in. Is he showing you that New Zealand form?
He has, sort of. We obviously bought him, and being a three-year-old, you try and give him a push for the three-year-old races, but he was a tired horse, raced like a tired horse, so we gave him a spell. He's back. Whether or not he runs down the straight, I'm not sure on Saturday, or we might hold him up. There's a couple of options for him next week round a bend. And Sully, look, he's been through the wars a bit, the old horse, and he hasn't done as what we would have hoped the last couple of runs. So it's probably if he doesn't step up, he'll be retired after Saturday. That's not the case, but he's not going as well as he should be, and he's not letting down as good as he could.
He's been a war horse for the stable. Let's try and find a winner today at Seymour. Then you've got a few runners. You've got Creed Aventus in race number 2. You're knocking into a one that's highly wrapped from the Mick Price and Mick Kent Jr. stable. What can you tell us about yours today?
Yeah, I've actually got one down the bottom in that race, Bring It Bella. She goes...
Oh, I got a run.
Yeah, I like her. She went around at short odds first up, but it didn't work out for her. But she goes very well. But like you say, obviously you take note of Craig Williams coming out to ride on a Tuesday. It obviously goes good, but they're all there to be beaten. And bring it, Bella. She'll run well.
All right. Good luck today, mate. Great to get a stable update with all your runners. And we look forward to seeing, hopefully, a winner on the weekend as well.
Thanks very much. Cheers, Michael. Thanks.
Trent Bussett and...